Great is thy faithfulness. Easy to say when things are going all right, isn't it? But guess what? Even when things aren't going all right, God is still faithful. And great is his faithfulness. Before I begin tonight, today, I'm looking forward to tonight, folks. And speaking of which, if you are an ordained man in this church, or outside this church, if you are ordained, I would invite you to come tonight at 4:30, or this afternoon at 4:30. The ordaining council will gather and spend some time with Alex. So if you are ordained minister, deacon, come at 4:30 and be part of that. It'll be a special time. I have a couple things to say to you this morning. If it bothers you that sometimes I may get a little animated during worship time, get over it. If I were worshiping you, then you would have a right to talk to me about that, but it's not for you. So, if you like, you can talk to God about it, and he may instruct me differently, but I would rather obey God than man. This sermon that I wrote for this week, that I penned it down on paper, but I sat down in my office to write two sermons for down the road, and I sat down. But what happens to me during the week is sometimes I'm driving down the road or I'm just wherever. Maybe I'm fishing or something, and there's just something comes to mind, and I'm like, ooh, I got to. Well, as I get older, I get back home. That's exactly what I'm using. Thank you, friend. My notes on my phone. I tell Siri, make a note, and I tell her what it is, because I'll get home and go, what was that? It was so good. What was that? And it's gone. So this happened last week, and one of these things came to mind, and I actually sat down to write those other two sermons. And I said, oh, but I want to write this down real quick before I forget. And I just kept writing and writing and writing, and the Lord just kept downloading it. It turned into today's sermon, okay? Now, here's the deal. I didn't want to preach a sermon. I didn't want to preach a sermon because it kind of hits hard and hits home for almost all of us, if not all of us. And I said, well, you know, that was great. I'll just file that away. And the Lord just said, it's not your message. Are you going to do what I ask you, or are you not? So here it is, all right? And I make no apologies for it. It's not mine. It's the Word of God. I need some glasses. I thought I brought mine in, but I just didn't. It's part of getting old. It's part of getting old. We celebrated Rebecca's birthday yesterday. And if you are interested to find out just how young my wife is, I will let you ask her that yourself. I titled this sermon, Why Can't We All Just Get Along? Now, a very dangerous thing to do is, if you're a pastor, to leave your notes sitting on the chair, because sometimes particular people like drummers, they tend to write notes on my notes. And there's a note here where I wrote, Why Can't We All Just Get Along? Our drummer wrote, That would make a good country song, homie. And I guess it would make a good country song if I were a homie, but I'm not. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you a little insight into the pastor's home this week. And chances are it's probably an insight into your own homes from time to time, or once upon a time maybe. But did you know that sometimes arguments or disagreements arise even in the parsonage? Not this week. Not this week. That's why it was so crazy. That's why it was so crazy. Sometimes we have a disagreement. And then in the end, when she explains to me how I was wrong, we make up and everything's all good. But sometimes, oh, you're going to have to bear with me because I'm going to lose my voice. Sometimes I fall into this mean way of thinking. Okay? When those very rare occasions do happen that we have a disagreement, Rebecca and I tend to just kind of shut up or shut down. And I think to myself, if she really wants resolution, then she'll approach me with repentance in her voice. And if she doesn't, she probably doesn't want resolution, so I'll just let her know ever so subtly just how upset I am that she did something so dastardly to force me into this behavior. Now, maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe that is you, too. I wonder, though, when I have this attitude and this behavior, childish behavior, do I really want resolution myself? I mean, if I really wanted things to be right, then I would take the initiative to seek peace, right? You would think. The truth is that often, on those rare occasions, Rebecca doesn't even know that or if she's even done anything wrong. And I'm certainly not going to tell her because she should just figure it out, right? And if she doesn't know, then she really doesn't even care. If she doesn't know what she did, that means she just doesn't care. Sometimes we treat God that way. We get upset with God. We shut down. We sulk. We pout. We rebel. Or we just leave the relationship in limbo. We tell ourselves that if God really loves me, He should prove it to me by making the situation right again. No, I'm not going to tell God how I feel because that would be me initiating the resolution. Anyway, if He's really God, then He knows how I feel, and that makes it even worse because if He knows and still won't do anything. Y'all are all looking at me like, our pastor's got issues. And you know that from time to time, those kind of thoughts run through some of your minds too. What we're missing out on is that God already initiated everything. He made the world. He made mankind. Why did He make mankind in the first place? For a relationship. For a relationship. Man messed that up. Right? There was a break in the relationship. And all throughout Scripture, God has been given opportunities, restoring relationships. Saving those that want a right relationship. You got Noah in the flood. You got Moses, all the Israelites. And just time after time after time, ultimately sending Jesus Christ to die for what we've done. The Bible says, you know, there's no gradation of sin. There's no, like, bad sin and worse sin and then horrible, horrible sin, and just little white sins. It's all wrong. And every bit of it is capital punishment stuff. The Bible says sin is sin, and the punishment is death. So He sent Jesus Christ to be that for us. He made a way for us to approach Him through Jesus Christ. So if there are any unresolved issues with God, it's not God who is unwilling to meet. If I refuse to tell Rebecca what my problem is, I'm the one who's holding up progress in that relationship. And anytime a relationship is one-sided, that's not a relationship. Okay? To quote somebody who one time said something somewhere, it takes two to tango. Right? That's not Scripture. I don't even know the theological implications of that, but it takes two. And if you're guilty of this, as I am from time to time, we make the choice it's time that we make the choice to be part of the solution to the issues at hand. Whether it's marriage, parent-child relationship, a friend relationship, a work relationship, church relationship, every relationship is a relationship in which we have a responsibility to work not only to maintain that relationship, but to improve and deepen that relationship. It can never rely on one person in the relationship. Both or more, however big the relationship is, has to work toward the same goal. Troubled relationships affect us in many different ways. Okay? It'll affect your relationship with God. In a marriage, improper treatment of one another can hinder your prayers. And we find this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. He writes, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you to the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Your relationship with one another can affect your relationship with God. I do want to address just real quickly that because somebody kind of had a little cringe when it talked to wives as the weaker partner, and very clearly I want to state this: that is, you get, consider the time this was written in. Okay, men were the protectors. I'm talking about physically weaker. Now that's not always the case today. I know some women that I would not want to tangle with, I'll tell you. Right? But in general, it's been the man's role to protect. Why? Because they're usually more physically able to do that than the woman. Now, today with all sorts of instruments that we have, it kind of levels the playing field some. But anyway, I wanted to point that out because in no way, in no form or fashion is this referring to them as a lesser person. Okay? There is that women are not less than men. They're different. Or men are different than women, however you want to see that. We're not the same, but we're not better than one another either. Okay? So, how we deal with our relationships in the marriage can affect our relationship with God. Again, if you're not signed up for that Marriage Love 101 thing, sign up today. Sign up right back there and give blood tomorrow too, or Wednesday. Also, how we participate in our circle of friends can affect our relationship with God. Did you know that? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says this: "Make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord." So, living at peace with everyone helps us. Don't leave that up here. Go back. Living at peace with everyone helps us move towards this, to holiness, right? Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It's telling me that if I'm not willing to get along with other people, I'm going to have a hard time seeing the Lord. How you deal with everyone else affects your relationship with God. Relationships among Christians is so important to God. Did you know that? He even tells us, "Don't bring your offering to me until we've done the restoration work in our relationships." Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 says this: "Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you," not that you have something against your brother, but even if your brother may have something against you, what does it say? "Leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come present your offering to the Lord." God says, don't bring me stuff that's not real and genuine, because if there's trouble in your heart, there's trouble between you and me. If you want to be right with me, you go get that straightened out right now. Don't pass jail. Go straight to jail. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. You go right straight now. Resolve that issue and then come back, because your offering is important. Okay? Your offering is important, but you take care of that business first, because when you come present yourself to me, I want it to be right. It affects your relationship with God. All these things. discord can affect other people around us. Did you know that? Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, he pleaded with two women who just... I think he may have asked them, why can't we all just get along? He was pleading with them because their argument was having an impact on those around him. Word reached Paul in another city about the argument. So he writes, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Paul said, how we treat one another matters because it has an effect on everyone else around us. And especially within the body of Christ, you know, it's always said about Christian folks, well, they're just hypocrites. They say one thing and do another. We preach love, but we harbor hatred. We preach forgiveness, but we're unwilling to forgive. They're hypocrites. Let us not be hypocrites. Let us make every effort to get along with everyone else, and especially those of the body of Christ, because it speaks. Somebody said, if that's how y'all treat each other, why would I want to be one of y'all? It matters. Getting along with others is hard work. Can I get an amen on that? And some are harder to get along with than others, right? Yeah. The easy way out is just to sever the ties, right? Cut the cord. Hasta la vista, baby. See you later. Have a great life without me. It's easier to do that sometimes. But that's not what God intended for us. It's not what God intended for us. Relationships go deep only because of hard work. Laziness, pride, selfishness, revenge, superiority, unforgiveness, and so much more. It must be overcome in order to have a relationship that works. And even more if you want that relationship to be special and meaningful. You can ask anyone who's been married for any length of time, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. My parents were married almost 62 years at the time of her death. And I've seen other marriages last a matter of weeks. But you can ask anybody that stuck through it and lasted a long time, and they will tell you that it took work to make it happen. It takes work to make it last. And one person can't do all the work. Did you know that marriages fail today at the rate of 50%? Now, it used to be less among Christians, but we're catching up. We're right along with the rest of the world. 50% of Christian marriages end in divorce these days. That's not a statistic to be very proud of. People would rather be right than have a right relationship. Did you know you can be wrong even if you're right? You can't have both. You can't always be right and always have a right relationship because we all mess up. And if we've seen today, not only that we can we not have a right relationship with God, if we're unwilling to work in our relationships with others, if we're not willing to work with others, our relationship with God suffers, our relationship with each other suffers, our relationship with those we don't even know who are watching, potential relationships suffer. Can't we all just get along? Now, again, this message, sometimes after sermon, after church, people come up to me and say, man, you've been reading my email. Did my wife talk to you? Did my husband talk to you? And I just know this, this was not the case. But I just know that if it happens even in good, strong marriages, it probably happens in most marriages. If it happens to people who are trying their best and working really hard to raise their kids in a good manner, if there's still struggles there, there's probably struggles in almost every one of those instances. If there's a struggle in any work environment, it probably happens in most work environments. It matters, folks. It matters how we get along with one another as Christians. It matters. Why does it matter so much to us? Because it matters to God. So I would like for us to make a commitment today. I'd like for us to say, Lord, from this point on, I'm going to work hard to make sure that my relationships are right, because I don't want you to tell me to go away from your presence to go get stuff right before I come back into your presence. Like the leaving the altar, leaving the offering at the altar. I don't ever want that type of strain in my relationship with my God, but He says it's dependent upon your relationship with others. Let me just encourage you to make that commitment. Say, today's the day. From this point on, I will work on my relationships, all of my relationships. I will put the effort in. I will do the work. I will work overtime and not even get overtime pay for it. I will work because it matters. It matters to God. And deep down, it really matters to me too. I will put my selfishness aside. I'll put my pride aside. I'll be willing to own up to my mistakes, and I will work. I won't be silent and give you the silent treatment anymore. And if I do, you have permission to slap me across the face, which she won't, but metaphorically speaking, or whatever. And that's real. It's real. I'm just dumb that way from time to time. Chances are most of us are in some way in a relationship. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. God, if it was not possible for us to have good relationships, God would not have told us to do it. Right? The truth is, sometimes you can't do it alone, though. God has to come in and move us, prod us, empower us, enable us, embolden us to do what's right. I pray that we would submit to Him and say, Lord, You are too important to me to have our relationship messed up because I'm being stubborn. I'm being foolish. I'm being selfish. I'm just being lazy. If it matters to God, it ought to matter to us. Amen. Father, help us today. Help us today, Lord, to see that it does matter how we treat those around us. Not only in that relationship, but Father, in our relationship. Let us not have anything that hinders our relationship with You. Let us own up, let us fess up, let us do the work to maintain and deepen our relationship. And Lord, I love the illustration that I saw at a marriage seminar one time of a triangle. Man on one corner, woman on the other corner. And as they both grow closer to God, they naturally grow closer to one another. And I believe that's the way You intended it, Father. So Father, help us to do that. Help us to draw closer to You as we draw closer to other people, understanding that if we refuse to do one, the other suffers. Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray for patience. I pray for resolution. I pray for restitution. I pray for, not restitution. I pray for restoration. Because it matters. In Jesus' strong name I pray.